Welcome to the Shiur in Svarno, Parshas Ha'azinu. The Shiur this evening is sponsored in memory of Tzvi Shlomo ben Chaim Aaron, as well as being sponsored by Mrs. Pessy Rosen, marking the yard site of her husband, Rabbi Shmuel Rosen, Shmuel Tzvi ben Aaron Chaim, the Neshama should have an Aliyah, Shesimosh Nachas Ruach, and the Torah Mitzvahs and Maisim Tovim, that the families are involved in. Parshas Ha'azinu, of course, overwhelmingly is the Shiras Ha'azinu, the poem that describes Jewish history from Yetzias Mitzrayim, from leaving Egypt, all the way through the coming of Moshiach. And at the very beginning of the Shira, so Moshe Rabbeinu says the famous words, Yarov kamot or likhi tizal katalim rossi. Let my lesson, my teachings come down like the rain. Let them drip. Let my words drip like the dew. What exactly, other than being poetic, you know, let my words come like the rain and the dew, what exactly is this supposed to signify? So there's a very beautiful comment of the Svarno right at the beginning of the parasha on that pasuk, where he writes as follows: Hine torosi, hi ta'arof v'savo b'shetef kimotar lemevinim hamuchanim lekabo mabua mekar chachma. Yarof kamotar likri, the verb yarof implies something that's rain that's coming down in a very, very strong fashion. You know, it's raining hard. So my Torah, says Moshe Rabbeinu, my teaching, my lekach, my teaching should come down with force like the rain for those who have the ability to understand Torah on the highest levels. L'kabel mabua mekar chachma, to be able to receive the flowing stream of the source of wisdom. There's some people who are able, you know, they go to a five-hour shiur where, you know, the shiur is rapid moving and, you know, there's a lot of Torah being thrown out of them and they say, you know, bring it on, the more the merrier. This is amazing, you know, it's... you know, so much Torah that's coming out. So for those people who are Mavinim, who are able to understand Torah on the highest level, being delivered, you know, like a force of rain, a hurricane of Torah, so to speak. So, you know, there are those people able to understand Torah on that level. But not everybody is able to understand Torah on that level. Sometimes you go to the shiur that's 5 hours long, rapid-fire delivery, and you make it through the first 40 seconds. And the first 40 seconds include the shahakol that the Magid Shir says on the cup of water, you know, before he starts the delivery. You know, after that, what did you get from the shir? Shahakol niyeh bidvaro. Okay, I guess that's a good thing to take away from a shir. But, you know, he did say other things after that for the next 4 or 5 hours. So for some people, you know, tizal katal imrosi. Tizal means to drip. You know, my words should drip like the dew. The dew doesn't come with force. The dew is very nice. It just kind of shows up, you know, on the grass in the morning. That's, he writes, V'nosenes gamkein, kefia nigla mimena ezi yedios lehediotos. Even if you don't get everything from Torah, nonetheless, Torah still provides something, even if you don't get it all. Even if what you take away from an encounter with Torah is relatively small, it's still very, very good, like the dew. Dew always has positive associations. You know, it's refreshing. It's you know, we talk about the Tal Tchia, you know, that the Tchias HaMesim, the resurrection of the dead, is going to take place through dew. You know, there are a lot of positive associations with dew. So, you know, the lesson that Moshe Rabbeinu is conveying right at the beginning of the Shiras Ha'azinu is that Torah is not an all-or-nothing endeavor. Torah has something for everybody. There's some people who experience Torah like a mighty torrent of rainwater, and they get a tremendous amount out of it. And there are other people who experience Torah like a little bit of dew, you know, a little bit of a flavor, you know, of water that's on the grass in the morning. And it's all good, you know. In other words, you can get something out of Torah on multiple levels. It doesn't have to be that, you know, unless you're a super genius who can get it all, you're not going to get anything out of an encounter with Torah. And that, says the Svarno, is really what the pasuk goes on to say in the latter half of the pasuk. Kisi'irim alei desha, the words of Torah are like water drops that are on the grass, on the vegetation. V'chirvivim aleis esev, and again, like droplets of water that are on the grass. What's added by the second half of the pasuk? Again, you know, Torah is like water; it helps the grass to grow. So he says here too, the two parts of the latter half of the pasuk correspond to an erudite person learning Torah and a novice learning Torah. Kseirim aleidesha. The seirim is like the word saara, you know, like a storm, like storm waters that are coming down upon the desha, upon the grass, like Hurricane Ida, you know, that's filling up the vegetation. Shamaskilim, those who are able to do so, those who have insight into Torah, yabitu niflos mimeno, they're able to see wondrous things in the Torah itself. Rabbi Kupperman in his notes that the word desha applies to many, many blades of grass. You know, desha, Rashi writes in the beginning of Chumash, when Pasuk says, Tadshe ha'aretz desha. So Rashi writes, the Lashon over there is, just get in a second, Levishas ha'aretz, kishehi mismaleis b'dusha'im. It's when the earth is filled up with grass and vegetation, meaning desha implies a field, you know, a large expanse of land that has become green, you know, as a result of the many waters that are being applied to it. So Kisirim Ailadesha, some people's experience with Torah is like tons and tons of water that's coming down on a vast expanse of land that has become green. Other people's Kirvivim Ale Esev. Esev, Rashi writes in the beginning of Chumash, means a blade of grass called Shoresh La'atzmo Nikra Esev. Every blade of grass by itself, every root of grass, is called Esev. So Esev implies something much smaller than Desha. And Revivim implies droplets, as opposed to Seirim, which is great torrents of water which are coming down. So what's Kirvivim Ale Esev? Gam Haidiotos Yiknu Bo Ezamado. Even somebody who's a novice when it comes to Torah learning could get something out of it. Lahakir bo bar'am ba'ofen ma. They can recognize their creator through Torah, which the Sfarno implies. Again, it's not a chiddush of the Sfarno, but the Sfarno brings this out. The ultimate goal of Torah learning is to recognize the Ribbono Shel Olam, is to recognize the creator. So, you know, if you're a little more erudite, you'll recognize the creator to a greater extent. If you're a little more of a novice, you'll recognize the creator to a lesser extent, but you'll get something out of it. It's not going to be like a waste of time, you know, that you tried to connect to Torah and felt that you couldn't get the maximum out of it. So now that you understand, says Moshe Rabbeinu to Klal Yisrael, the nature of Torah, that Torah has something for everybody on multiple levels, Im kein atem Yisrael shekibaltem osa, so now Klal Yisrael, you have received the Torah, I want you to consider the following. And then we know the Pasuk Gimel, in the beginning of Hazinu, is a very famous Pasuk. Ki Shem Hashem Ekra Havu Godel Elokeinu. When I call out in the name of Hashem, of Yud Kei Vav Kei, ascribe greatness to our God. What's the idea behind that Pasuk? So on this, the Sfarno writes as follows. Hine Kore Shem Hashem Hu Amispalo. The term to call out in the name of God always means to daven, right? In fact, that's how we use this pasuk in our davening, right? We have the minhag of reciting this pasuk prior to the Shmoneh Esrei of Mincha and Musaf, which implies, Ki Shem Hashem Ekra means, I'm about to daven, I'm going to call in the name of Hashem. Where do we see that? So he quotes two psukim, pasuk in Eicha, Perigim, pasuk in Hei, Korosi Shimcha Hashem Yibor Tachtios, I've called out in your name, O Hashem, from the deepest of the deepest part of the pit. And similarly, another pasuk that we say Friday night, Tehillim Tzadi Tes, pasuk Vav, Moshe v'Aaron b'cholanov, u'Shmuel b'korei Shmo. Shmuel Anovi was among those who called out in the name of Hashem. Korim el Hashem v'hu ya'anem. They would call to Hashem, and he would answer them. Obviously, in context, calling out in the name of Hashem over there means to daven. Amarim came. So in light of that, the way to understand our pasuk, Kishem Hashem Ekra, Havu Godel Elokeinu, says the Sfarno is as follows. Kasher espalel al kibbutz galios. Part of what's going to happen during the Shiras Hazinu is that Moshe Rabbeinu is going to daven. So here this is a very interesting insight of the Svarno. I think generally speaking, when we think about the Shiras Hazinu, we see it not so much as a Shira of Tefillah, but rather a prediction of, or a description of the past and a prediction of the future. It describes how Klal Yisrael came out of Egypt. It describes how they received the Torah, how Hashem brought them to Eretz Yisrael, how they rebelled against Hashem and Eretz Yisrael. Ultimately, Hashem punishes them. But in the end of the day, Hashem is going to punish those who tormented Klal Yisrael. That's the 22nd executive summary of Shiras Hazinu. But the Svarno says there's more to it than just a description of history and a description of the future. There's tefillah, this prayer that Moshe Rabbeinu is engaging in the Shiras Hazinu, and he gives a few examples. He says, "Kasher espala al kibbutz galios." In the course of the Shiras Hazinu, Moshe Rabbeinu is going to daven that Hashem will bring the scattered Jewish people back to Eretz Yisrael. Where do we see that? So he quotes the pasuk. We're going to read it tomorrow morning. Kinesher Yair Kino al gozalov yirachef. Right, so just like the eagle awakens its nest, it hovers over its chicks. Yifros knafav yikocheo yisoel avrosa. It will lift up, it will spread out its wings and lift up Klal Yisrael on its wings. So that's a very interesting interpretation that the Svarno is giving to this pasuk, because the simple way to read that pasuk is that it's describing the past tense. It's describing something that happened already. If you look, for example, in Rashi, Kinesher Yair Kino, Nohagom birachamim uvechemlo kanesher hazeh. Hashem led them, past tense, with mercy and compassion, just like the eagle has compassion on its children. So, and again, he just a little bit later on in Rashi. When the Egyptians were chasing after them in pursuit and they came to Yamsuf, they were shooting all kinds of arrows and projectiles at the Jewish people, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu protected the Jewish people at that time. So Rashi's interpretation of the pasuk is that it's past tense, right? It's talking about what happened when the Jews left Mitzrayim, Kinesher Yair Kino, Gozolov Yirachev. It's somewhat similar, and Rashi notes the similarity, to the pasuk that's utilized at Matan Torah. For Eso Eschem, Al Kanfei Nisharim, I carried you on eagle's wings. In other words, all of that is past tense. It's describing what happened already. The Svarno understands that it's not exclusively talking about past tense, at the very least, but it's a tefillah for the future. Kinesher Yair Kino, Al Gozalov Yirachev, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to carry you on eagle's wings. And that's a reference to the Kibbutz Galios, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to bring us back to Eretz Yisrael from wherever we were dispersed, as it were, on the wings of eagles. Right? So that's a tefillah. It's future tense. It's not talking about the past. You know, the funny thing about poetry in Hebrew is that it's very often difficult to tell whether a pasuk is in the past tense or in the future tense. You know, the poetic nature of Shiras Hazinu is ambiguous as to whether what the tense of the psukim is. Or another example, Al Bias Moshiach. Moshe Rabbeinu was also davening in Shiras Hazinu for the coming of Moshiach. Ba'omri, Hashem Badod Yanchenu. The pasuk also goes on to say shortly thereafter, Hashem will lead them alone, Ve'enimo El Nechor, and there'll be no foreign god with, you know, in conjunction with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So here too, Rashi interprets that pasuk as past tense. Hashem Bodod Yanchenu, writes Rashi, Hashem bodod ubetach nohagom bamidbar. God caused the Jewish people, he led the Jewish people securely through the desert. Ve'enimo el nechar, lo hoya korach be'echad, mikol elohei agoyim laharos kol chelilochim imoyim. There wasn't, not a single god or deity among the nations had the power to be able to fight against the Jewish people while they were in the desert, past tense. Comes the Svarno and says, no, primarily that pasuk is al shem ha'asid. It's a future tense. Hashem bodod yanchenu ve'enimo el nechar. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to lead the Jewish people alone, and no foreign gods will have, you know, any standing at that time. That's talking about when Moshiach is going to come. And it's not so much a prediction, it's a tefillah. Moshe Rabbeinu was davening for the Jewish people that they should merit as speedily as possible to see the coming of Moshiach. And one more time, at the very end of the Shira, it says, Harninu goyim amo kidam avod of yikom. You know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to avenge the blood of his servants. This is also not simply a prediction, it's a tefillah on the part of Moshe Rabbeinu. So all of these things, Moshe Rabbeinu is interspersing the descriptions of the past and the future with tefillos. He's davening as part of the Shiras Ha'azinu. So Kishem Hashem Ekra, when I daven to Hashem, which is what Ha'azinu contains elements of davening to Hashem, so you, Havu Godel Eloheinu, ascribe greatness to God. What does that mean? So he writes as follows. Atem, you Jewish people, shiadatem gadlo b'movsim sichliyim v'v'ar b'torasa, you know full well of the greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu based on the things you've seen. You know, you've seen so many miracles take place over the years. Havu gadol Elokeinu, so ascribe greatness to Hashem, al tiyachasu elav hishtanus. Don't accuse HaKadosh Baruch Hu of flip-flopping, of changing. Where would that come in? Amashi super bashir ma'asidos li Yisrael, v'sheyehofek lohem la'oyev. Shir HaZinu, at points, paints a picture of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which seems very different than the picture of God that the Jewish people have gotten to know over the years. The God who has been there for the Jewish people during the 40 years of wandering the desert, yes, has had moments where he's punished the Jewish people, but overwhelmingly, the experience they've had with HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the desert has been one where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is providing their every need, surrounding them with clouds of glory, he's giving them money, he's giving them water, yeah, everything you want, you know, it's like a 24/7 tea room, you know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is providing for them in the desert. And Shir HaZinu describes how there's going to come a time where it seems like HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the enemy of the Jewish people. He's going to bring these anti-Semitic nations to come and fight against the Jewish people, and Jewish blood is going to be spilled left and right. That's what's being described in Shir HaZinu. So the Jewish people, upon hearing this, may say, hey, wait a minute. Why is God flip-flopping? Why is he changing around? You know, what happened? What happened to the God of yesteryear? Why is he all of a sudden, you know, changing his mode of dealing with us? This isn't right. So says Moshe Rabbeinu, I know you're going to think that. Despite that, Havu Godel Elokeinu, ascribe greatness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because you know that in the end of the day, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is all-powerful. HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves the Jewish people. He wants to do good to the Jewish people. And if you're seeing atrocities being described in Shiras HaAzinu, ultimately, that's not chalila, a failing of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or a hatred that Hashem has for you in some way. Ultimately, it goes back to the Jewish people themselves. And that, says the Svarno, is the meaning of the continuation of the Psukim. Hatsur tam impalo ki chol derachav mishpat. God is the rock. What he does is perfect. All of his ways are justice. Kel emuna. He's a God of faithfulness. Ve'ein ovel. He's not involved in injustice in any way. Tzadik v'yashar hu. God is absolutely righteous and straightforward when dealing with the Jewish people. Why is it necessary to say this pasuk? I mean, this pasuk is mostly familiar to us, unfortunately, from the Tzidik HaDin, when a person experiences a personal loss, and they're matzdik aleihem es hadin. They justify the fact that even though they're suffering, we believe HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the righteous judge. What's it doing over here? What's this pasuk Hatzur Tamim Paalo have to do with the flow of ideas in the beginning of Hazinu? So the Svarno explains it's exactly this point. You're going to read Shiras Hazinu, and you're going to walk away thinking, Rachmanu Litzlan, God is vindictive. God is promising all these terrible things that are going to happen to Klal Yisrael. So how do we deal with that? How do we understand that? No. So we have to be matzdik aleinu es hadin. We have to justify God's judgment, even as we read Shiras Hazinu. Even though we're going to read things that are terrible and horrific, we believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is absolutely correct in everything that he does, and that we can't ascribe in any way, chalila, any injustice to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that explains the svar of that pasuk. So that's why Hashem, first of all, is described as Hatsur. He's the rock. Why that term? He's bilti mishtane. Says the svar, no, he's unchanging, like the rock. You might have thought that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was doing a 180. He was nice to us in the desert, but here he's coming along and he's going to do terrible things to us. It doesn't work like that. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the same God, under all circumstances. He's a tzur. He's a rak. Lo katsra yado mehoshia. It's not that he's impotent, chalila, that he's unable to save us. Lo kavda ovna ozna lishmoa. It's not that he's indifferent, to our prayers. And don't accuse him of being unjust. You know that tam impalo. You know that everything that he does is perfect. Kol derachav mishpat darche tuvo umidas dino kulo mishpat blisafik. Everything God does is righteous and just when he's doing good and when he's judging us. He's kel emuna. He's faithful. He promised the avos that he's going to do good by the children of the avos, and he's going to make good on that promise. He's tzaddik, he's tztokos ahev. He loves justice. Uvit sidkoso lo yitosh es amo begolos. He's not going to abandon us in the exile. That's not part of the justice of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'yoshar hu, he's straightforward. Shlo lekapeach schar koberia. He's not going to deny anyone his just reward. Right? We often find, as the Chumash describes earlier, that even evildoers can experience good times in this world, and that way in Olam Haba, they will be punished thoroughly. That's why Shiras Hazinu is going to describe how the anti-Semitic nations that are fighting against the Jewish people are not initially going to suffer. HaKadosh Baruch Hu sometimes doesn't immediately punish evildoers, so that in the Olam HaEmes, in the next world, they'll be punished more thoroughly. So there's no complaints that we can have against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's absolutely just. The fault that brings about all of the terrible things described in Shiras Hazinu is ultimately all our fault. And that we'll see tomorrow, Be'ezus Hashem, the continuation of the psukim, Shiches lo banov mumam. It's his children who have the mum, who have the blemish. It's HaKadosh Baruch Hu is absolutely perfect in everything that he does. A little bit more, we'll continue tomorrow on that topic. Rabbi Chanan ben Akasha Omer, Rabbi